Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Friday. Let's bring you into the weekend. McNeil and Parkins on the score. What up, Mac?
Hey, I saw a no-hitter last night. Did you watch?
No.
There was no NBA for you, and I don't know if you're down with the Sox every time they break a sweat. So during the rain delay in Atlanta, Len Casper and Jim Deshays hosted tons of cool Cubs highlights, including no-hitter highlights.
Yeah.
I saw Carlos Zambrano shut the door on the Astros in Milwaukee.
I saw the clincher in 84.
Did you really?
Yeah, I swear to God, I saw the Harry doing the play-by-play, and he sounded wasted.
Did they stick with Harry for when he said, "I hope we get loaded tonight"? He said that on the air during one of the interviews after the win.
They did not air that, at least not that I saw, but that's fantastic.
I hope it was great.
More loaded tonight.
Yeah.
I spent some time with Benetti and Stone last night.
Okay.
For the White Sox game. Yeah, it was.
You picked a good night.
Yeah, exactly. Shields was good.
Man, and he's part of the new good team down the road, isn't he?
Yeah. That's right. It's the most obvious observation ever, but I'll be honest, the Sox are second screen for me, so I'm not really listening to them. I'm just kind of following the game while I'm watching either NBA playoffs or Cubs or whatever. It's just such a good broadcast. Every time, like, even though the quality on the field is bad, every time I'm with them for six innings, three innings, whatever it is, I just consistently feel like they're doing a really good job with a really bad product.
It's a very fresh sounding broadcast.
Yeah.
This is year number two or three for Jason.
Three,
is it,
right?
Year number three, I think, but it's still relatively fresh, and we don't see them for six, 7 months out of the year. I love it, and I think the dynamic of a guy who played in the 70s and 80s with a millennial sitting alongside, it works. You're covering a lot of territory. You're checking a lot of boxes on your demographics, and they have a wonderful chemistry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The chemistry is just fantastic. It's a very easygoing conversation. They are willing to make fun of themselves and poke fun at each other.
Mm-hmm.
While also weaving in, like, really smart baseball analysis, whether it's Stoney being anecdotal as a player or Jason, who speaks the sabermetric language as comfortably as any baseball broadcaster that I've heard. It is a really, really good listen.
I'll tell you something else Jason Benetti does very well. He listens, and then he asks follow-up questions if he wants more. And I noticed this, too, when he was working with Pechorek.
Yeah.
He's a very good listener.
Yeah.
Listening is a skill.
It is. What'd you say? Yeah. Sorry. That awful joke was brought to you by Casper Sleep. With a 100-night risk-free trial, you can discover how Casper has become the internet's favorite mattress. Go to Casper.com today for special Memorial Day savings. Casper.com. So what do you got going on this weekend?
I'm going to watch baseball. I'm going to watch hockey. I don't think I'm going to watch the horse racing tomorrow. One day of the year is enough for
me.
Wow. Yeah, that's it.
2 minutes. You're not even going to watch?
Well, if I'm going to watch, I'm going to invest, and that requires more than 2 minutes. I mean, it's investing in a sporting event requires at least 20 minutes thought, doesn't it?
Not really.
For you.
A little action play. Well, if Justify wins, will you then watch the Belmont to see if he wins the Triple Crown?
Not likely.
Really?
No, I mean, now that it's been won, now that we can stop mentioning, what was it, Affirmed, that we mentioned for all those years?
Yeah, Affirmed. Yeah.
1977.
Right.
Steve Coughlin on board.
American Pharoah was what, 2015?
Yeah.
2015?
I think so.
Okay.
So now that long stretch is over, I'm not interested in, you know, I couldn't care less if a horse wins those three races. I really couldn't.
Was anyone really excited when American Pharoah did?
Because I have a theory, like, that was the ultimate buildup to a sporting event. I'm like, oh, we're going to see a Triple Crown horse. And then it's pulling away. And I'm like, this really did nothing for me, seeing this horse win this race.
See, that's my Las Vegas Golden Knights theory. We didn't have a relationship with American Pharoah, so we didn't care about his winning. We couldn't have cared less that he was in the winner's circle a third time.
When do you have a relationship with a horse?
Well, a relationship, it's like Shep saying you didn't get behind it. He didn't feel like a big
buzz.
Look,
I was all
there.
Excited because I was thinking, like, I shouldn't say all excited. But when that happened, it's like, okay, going to see a Triple Crown horse. And maybe it was because so many got to the third leg and failed. It was like, it'll be so cool if we see somebody win the Triple Crown. It'd be so awesome. And then when American Pharoah is pulling away, it's like, this is doing nothing for me. I really could not possibly care less.
I didn't, like, buy an American Pharoah jersey.
American Pharoah!
I just, like, thought I'd be more excited. Like, oh, my God, the horse is going to win the Triple Crown. And he starts to pull away on the final straightaway, and it's like, all right, what else is on TV? I don't care about this.
Yeah, Eric Berry and I have similar thoughts on being next to horses, but it's just, I don't know, like, I'm not doing anything better during those 2 minutes than watching a Triple Crown horse race. I can pretty much guarantee you that. You know what I mean? So, like, I will turn it on.
I understand.
If I'm in a room with a screen and that's on, I'm there for it. Because it's also, it's a sport of kings, right? It's a gambling
that's
spectacle.
That's what they call it. It is definitely that.
So even if I don't have personal action on it, I just respect the history of it in the gambling, because then right at the end, they'll show you what a $2 bet would pay on all three of the horses coming in. I'm like, oh, wow, that would have been sweet. It's like when the lottery happens. Like, oh, man, someone just won $380 million? I'm going to have that five-second fantasy about what it would be like if I won $380 million.
Well, and it was $280 Wednesday, I think. I don't know what it's up to now, but you're not going to drop $2 on a Powerball ticket until it gets...
Nah.
What was your... you
400.
400, was it?
Yeah, 400 would be worth it for me.
What could you possibly do with $280 million?
Oh, listen, I'd be thrilled to win. Yeah. I just, like, for some reason, I've been desensitized to, like, I know it's ridiculous that I would ever win the lottery. So I'm not going to waste my money on $280. But once it crosses that $400 million threshold, all of a sudden I'm like, maybe it's my year.
I also have spent a lot of time fantasizing about what I would do if I won the Powerball. And while I would be very generous with it, I also would do some things I'd never considered. And I never would have considered this prior to the Kentucky Derby. I'd buy a plane specifically to fly horses. Because Connor's got me interested in finding out how are the accommodations for a world-class 1,200-pound animal when it flies.
Air Horse One.
Yeah, I would like to do that. We could buy a racehorse.
Well, that's what I would do. Yeah, I would buy a racehorse, like a thoroughbred, name it Weed on a Plane, and put it on your air travel service for equestrians.
Weed on a Plane.
And enter it in the Kentucky Derby. Do you think that they would let a horse named Weed on a Plane into the Derby? I would have to think so, right?
I don't know the answer to that. I can't think of ever seeing the name of a horse that could have been considered
offensive,
risque, or
well, I'm not gonna
appealing
win the lottery
to somebody's prurient interests.
Well, I mean, if you had $280 million, I'm sure you can.
You wouldn't care.
You pay someone off, let your horse in.
Did you watch any of the Derby pre-race coverage? None of it?
0 minutes.
Shep, you or Tanny watch any of it?
Maybe 15 minutes
all
total.
Right. There was a remarkable story about the owner of Bolt Doro. Mike Ruiz is the owner of that horse. He's a self-made millionaire. He showed up at Churchill Downs in jeans and a t-shirt. He's a millionaire. He's a multimillionaire, but he's a regular guy. He's a guy who built his fortune by making scaffolding for Navy ships in San Diego. And he still is a hands-on guy. He trained his own horse. He trained Bolt Doro. It's a remarkable story.
Cool. We should ask Eddie O about it today at 4:30. And yeah, I don't think I would change very much, other than I wouldn't work another day in my life. But, you know, I'd still wear t-shirts every day, and I wouldn't change all that much. I kind of like how Mark Cuban carries it, not with the workplace practices of the Dallas Mavericks, but he just, like, sits courtside and screams at refs in t-shirts.
You'd want to work. You'd want to do something.
I would want to do something.
That's the beauty of it, is you could do it whenever you wanted to.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to work for anyone. You know what I mean? Like, that would be the hang-up for me. I'd figure out something to do philanthropically that would maybe, like, allow, like, could employ, like, sisters or family members that would also, you know what I mean, like, and help in that situation, and then I would just drop in whenever I wanted to.
Well, you could buy the score from Entercom and tell them name their price. You could buy the score, and whenever you wanted to do a show, if you're feeling you need to scratch an itch and the world needs to hear what you've got to say, you just come in and bump whichever crew is on the air and say, take a lap.
That's good. I've got something to say. Turn my mic on! Yeah. All right. Yeah, you're right. What do you think it would go for? Or is that not a conversation we should have?
No, I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't have it.
I'm just curious.
First blush reaction is 70.
70?
70 million.
Yeah.
I would think.
I was thinking north of 50 for sure, especially with the rights fees, assuming you get that with it, which you would.
Yeah.
Signal, rights fees, employees. Yeah.
You know, 50 to 75. The score's original sale, what Dan Lee and Seth Mason paid to purchase the score on the 820 frequency originally was $800,000. I want to say it was $800,000. And several years later, they packaged it with WXRT and sold it to Westinghouse for, I think, $44 million as a combo. That's a good ROI.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Speaking of radio today, your good friend Chuck Swirsky. Into the
yes.
WGN
Hall. Congratulations to Chuck. He's among, I think, five people who were, I guess you'd say, enshrined, honored in the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. Congratulations.
Congrats
well
to Cap.
Cap is part of it,
our colleague. Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. It's an unbelievable radio station with that history. I cannot imagine any sort of, it's not like you don't get into radio to think about going into a Hall of Fame. One day you're going to debate about people in the Hall of Fame. So
right.
It's a pretty cool accomplishment.
Now, some would tell you... Some would tell you the GN walk has been a little bit diluted. I don't know. I've not examined all of the footprints.
Of the stars?
Right. I've not gone down there to see.
Some, the bronze, you know, microphones?
I think they're a little, they're getting a little bit loud. I think they're giving too many people.
Okay, yeah, this is a whatever. Strong class. Yeah. You know, it's a weak class. I've never heard WGN debated for their Hall of Fame credentials. But, I mean, we could debate anything, I suppose. Is there a score Hall of Fame? I mean, we got Terry Bores way. Here, there should be something for all of you score originals, don't you think? Plaques on a wall?
Whatever. I don't know.
Whatever? People always say, what's it like doing the show with a radio legend? Like, I don't know. He doesn't have a voice.
I'm no longer a legend.
You're no longer?
No. That's the word they slap on you when you're between gigs.
Oh,
when you,
really?
When you show up at Sports Talk Live, you know, Chicago radio legend Mike North, or who? When guys don't have work, that's what I was this past winter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're no longer
employed.
A legend.
Right.
Now
the
legend. Now he's just a dinosaur.
He's a dinosaur.
My mistake.
Let's make sure we give the dinosaur his adjectives. Entitled waffling.
Waffling. The dinosaur. Hey, you said you want to talk some Bears, which excites me very much. We'll do it. Some of the Jed conversation from earlier today, and it wasn't mentioned in transition, but Nick Wright will talk NBA playoffs with us at 3 o'clock today. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score. A lot to unpack there.
And I think everybody here associated with the McNeil and Parker show would like to thank Sister Jean for being among our audience every day.
Absolutely. Yes, Seth. Yeah, of course. No need for a correction there.
Parker or Parka?
I think she said Parker.
I thought Parker. Was that this morning, overnight?
Yes, of course. Dan Parker.
Is that fresh or is that old?
That was from this morning.
Okay. From this morning.
All right.
Yeah. He was just in here. Could have corrected her, but it's okay.
Well,
who is she
probably
talking
about? Probably mad.
Though? You think he's mad?
He might be.
I don't think he knows the name.
You took an awfully long time to read those questions. He prolonging his agony.
Wait, what did I do? It was like, what is this allegation?
Death by a thousand paper cuts.
It's your fault now. So that's what we're saying. Your fault.
My fault. But Shet beat him in trivia. Okay, that seems how it goes here at the score. If someone gets upset about something, is that Dan Parker's fault?
It's all on Parker.
It's all. That's typical. Yes. Yeah. Okay. But who is she talking about in terms of someone who is trading Addison Russell?
Obviously, Hoyer or Theo.
One of the guys who makes the trades for the Cubs.
That's who it is, right?
Well,
who else could it be?
But
we've had both on this station.
Yeah,
both on this show.
But Jed and Theo haven't talked about trading Addison Russell.
Doesn't mean anything. She could have associated it with us.
Had to have been a Jason Stark or a Jeff Passan asking about what it would take to get Machado.
Yeah, or maybe she was just coming in from a night of bending the elbow and she couldn't get, she didn't know what she was saying.
That's about some Bushmills.
Yeah.
It's Protestant whiskey. Yeah, all right. Good for Les.
She's up doing Dawn Patrol. I hope not. Hope she's taking care of herself.
Yeah. I do, too. I hope Les is taking care of himself. Les will just have a nice little weekend. Lick his wounds. He'll come back stronger next time. We need to come up with a different way to play to Les's strengths. That's what I think. He was not quick to the trigger, so it was a disadvantage.
I have a solution.
You have a solution?
Yes.
What is it?
Ish.
The Ish show.
Eldred would be acceptable for Eldrick Woods. He's just got to be in the ballpark.
Okay.
That's a way.
Or if he knew the answer after it's given. If he says, oh, I knew it, then give him points.
Okay. It's the Ish.
Double points, if anything.
If like, necessary.
Should I have been like a professional boxer where you know that it's over and stop throwing punches? Like cut myself off?
No, you didn't know if there was going to be a category for him to run the table. You wanted to cover the spread. You're taking care.
Did I cover the spread?
You covered the spread in a big way. And the money line.
You got 7,500 points out of a possible 9,000, right?
It brings up the question, did Les take a dive?
Yeah. Oh, he was
I don't want to compromise the integrity of this thing, but.
That's a good point.
He didn't get his 1%, did he?
Dare I say we had a no mas moment here in the studio yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, he tapped out. No mas, no mas. He didn't want any more, except he did.
You know the story about that, don't you? When Duran's people huddled around him so he could go dump in a bucket in the ring?
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's what no mas, no mas. He was up nervous the night before the fight eating steak. He was eating
a questionable pre-fight meal.
Yeah, so after getting pummeled for, I think the fight went, 7-8 rounds? And then no mas, because he had to go boo-boo.
Oh.
He had to go woo. No mas.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, sure is, Pat.
So we had the grobber moment.
Could be.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get into your Bears observations, because, training camp right around the corner. But I know I saw something from Matt Nagy. Like, I got a simple Bears question for you that I don't have a good answer for. So I want to ask it to you coming up on the score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!